I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Talented individual players where this is the sum is greater than its parts.
Since you were hired in late 2009, Alabama has won 5 national championships. If the playoff stars worked out, would you love to have a rematch against them?
Be careful what you wish for, is what I would say. If they got upset in the first round, I would not be unhappy at all. I'd be okay with that. But look, at the end of the day, we played Georgia last year to a tie, and they beat us by 1 point, certainly. And they played Alabama pretty good. So if it got to that, we'd sign up for that duty.
Middays on the Score.
Brian Kelly with ESPN TV.
We played them to a tie. And then they beat us by 1 point.
Right. That's right. An interesting way of defining the way wins and losses go.
But whatever
you do, coach. Pete Sampson is on Twitter at @PeteSampson_. He covers the University of Notre Dame for The Athletic, and he's with us now on The Score. Hi, Pete. How are you, man?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. So Jay Zawoski, our executive producer, is as big a Notre Dame fan as I know. And since Notre Dame beat, I'd say, Stanford at the end of September, we all have been waiting for the Monday morning where we come in and look at Jay and go, well, they just got caught looking past Virginia Tech or Pitt or Navy or Northwestern or Florida State. And they haven't. They've kept things right there. Is that a credit to the talent or to the way, as you heard Brian Kelly talking when we came out of break, the way everybody has stayed together over the last 4 or 5 weeks?
I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. Certainly the quarterback change has been huge. Yeah. And I think we'd be sort of, it'd be a little bit of a revisionist history to look at the Pittsburgh game and think like, oh, Notre Dame didn't look past them or they handled it just fine. You know, they were down in the fourth quarter. They struggled against Ball State in September when they absolutely just sort of figured they would roll them because they're Notre Dame and they're Ball State, and why wouldn't you expect to crush them? So it's, I mean, I think this team is sort of, it survived its own look ahead spots so far, and not a lot of teams could do that. I think when they've been caught sort of looking ahead, it's been against teams that maybe were inferior talent. If that happens tomorrow against Syracuse, it's a pretty good chance that they'll lose.
How good do they think they are?
Within the roster, I think that they think that they're a 12-0 team. But when you hear your head coach and your athletic director get up and say, "Well, Alabama, they're at a different level," then I think that certainly sends a message that shouldn't be a surprise to anyone that Alabama and Clemson are a cut above where Notre Dame is. I feel like Notre Dame, Michigan, Georgia, Oklahoma, like they're in that group. They happen to have zero losses and those other teams have one, but there's a pretty big gap from where I sit between Alabama and Clemson and then Notre Dame with those other three schools that I mentioned.
Talking Notre Dame football with Pete Sampson, who covers the Irish for The Athletic. How much different, or maybe a better way to ask the question is, what's the biggest difference to you from the Notre Dame team in week one that beat Michigan to the one that will line up against Syracuse tomorrow?
Well, Ian Book at quarterback for sure. Okay. That is by far the biggest reason. You go from a quarterback who's basically a 50% passer to one who's a 75% passer. And that accuracy has allowed Notre Dame's wide receivers, tight ends to look like the 4-star and 5-star athletes that they actually are. Because before they had to dive to make every catch, they couldn't run onto the ball and do something with it. And then running back Dexter Williams has been huge as well. Week one, they started what has turned out to be their backup quarterback and their third string running back. And now with Ian Book and Dexter Williams as their quarterback running back combination, that's just a much better, higher level of talent there. You have a home run hitter at running back, whereas before you sort of had a guy who would get you 4 yards on 3rd and 3.
How is Book right now?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. Brian Kelly, if he is to be believed, says that he's fine and his ribs are okay and whatever shot he took against Northwestern is fine. I'm going to wait to see him go through warmups tomorrow at Yankee Stadium before I believe it. That's just, he took a real shot. Initially, my sources told me probably it was a 2-week injury. Syracuse would be the second of those 2 weeks. So we'll see on Saturday about how healthy he is. I'm skeptical that he's going to be close to 100%. I think it's just more a matter of pain management, how he's able to play through it.
So I'm thinking back to some primetime games past for teams, not necessarily Notre Dame, but I remember there was an Ohio game where, you know, the coaching staff lets him into the locker room and they unveil the black uniforms, the alternate blacks, you know, for that night. And the kids all go nuts because they've never worn those before. What was the reaction from Notre Dame players when they saw the god-awful uniforms they've got to wear in Yankee Stadium tomorrow? What uniforms lost to those?
The New York Yankees dress-up uniform. I think they were just like, oh, that's fine. You know, they got their green jerseys last weekend. I think they'd prefer to wear those. But it's laundry. It's laundry that people pay a lot of money to produce and then sell to fans. Personally, I think that they're absolutely hideous. But I think the players don't really care. It's something different to them. I think it's sort of cool. But I think to everyone who's watching it, especially the helmets that are batting helmets, I mean, Notre Dame's iconic gold dome, that's why they have the gold helmets. Now it's like a pine tar scraped up sticker with Notre Dame on it. It just is, I don't know. These Shamrock Series uniforms have been sort of pushing the boundaries for quite a while, and I think they crossed a few lines with this one.
Yeah, we're told the kids care, though, that it must matter to recruits. It must matter how cool your uniforms are. Oregon started the whole thing. Maryland got in on it, and then apparently coaches are – there's full-time uniform design and uniform coordinator. I think it's Casey Martin at Oregon who makes $1 million a year doing this for all their sports teams. Yeah. That if it matters to recruits, it matters, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's one way to look at it. I think for a program like Notre Dame where you can stand on tradition opposed to flash and doing something new and shiny and bright, like, I think Notre Dame's traditional uniforms are sort of what sells. Like, when Notre Dame's recruiting people, it's about tradition, not about uniforms. So it's like I'm skeptical that an 18-year-old kid is going to look at these uniforms and say, you know what, that's why I want to go to school in South Bend, Indiana, at a really hard academic education at a Catholic school, because of these pinstripe Yankee dress-up uniforms that they're wearing. So I get why Oregon and Maryland does it. I think it moves the needle a little bit for Notre Dame to do it. I think it's less true here.
So Notre Dame is ranked third in the college football playoff rankings. University of Central Florida is 11th at 9-0. They are the best team in the country. Just ask them. They'll tell you. Mackenzie Milton, their quarterback, they called out Notre Dame, saying you can look at the Pitt film against us, against Notre Dame. You can't tell me Notre Dame's a better team than us. Is this the type of team that allows for bulletin board stuff to go up there, or is that not this iteration of the Irish?
I think that if USC said something, that it would register with Notre Dame, but I don't think UCF saying anything is gonna cause any sort of reaction around Notre Dame. So I'd say no. I mean, I remember in 2012, Max Whittick, USC's quarterback, said, you know, basically, I guarantee we're never going to lose to Notre Dame again. And yeah, that made it to the locker room at South Bend very quickly. But for Mackenzie Milton to say something, I just don't think that registers with Notre Dame, because they're not playing UCF and they're never going to play UCF. So it's with Syracuse or USC, great. UCF, not really.
We were having this debate earlier before the show. If you had to pick a more representative Notre Dame-y player, like an avatar of Notre Dame-ness, is it Tom Zybikowski or Drew Tranquil?
Oh, I think that Zybikowski has like sort of a 70s, 80s Notre Dame vibe to him, like a little bit more blue collar. Drew Tranquil is not blue collar. He's got a more your modern Notre Dame mechanical engineering major. I think he's the first mechanical engineering major to come through the football program since 2000. You know, very faith-based guy, married. I mean, just kind of your all-American. Could we put him on the cover of a magazine and every magazine available? So, yeah, I'd say like Zybikowski sort of had like a throwback vibe about him with sort of representing Notre Dame. I think Tranquil is basically – the Notre Dame that Notre Dame would like to be in 2018.
Makes sense to me. How would – we heard Brian Kelly coming out of the break, and he was talking a little bit about Alabama. How does this team match up with Alabama? I mean, at its best, if Ian Book is healthy and clicking and you've got home runs being hit out of the backfield by Dexter Williams, how does it match up?
I mean, not that well, just like everybody else other than Clemson. Yeah. I think where Notre Dame sort of gets killed in that matchup is Alex Bars. He's their fifth-year senior, 30-plus game starter at left guard. Really was their best player on offense, tore his ACL against Stanford, got rolled up in a pile. And I think, like, if Notre Dame's going to beat Alabama, they have to first block Alabama. And I think losing Bars from that lineup sort of makes that maybe not impossible, but very, very, very hard. So to not be at your best up front on the line, I think it's where Notre Dame would just be in a lot of trouble against Alabama and Clemson, for that matter. If they could hold up on the line, I think they could probably score some points on them, and maybe it would be a little bit of a game. But I just think that they would have a very hard time keeping Ian Book upright against Clemson or Alabama.
How much do they miss Harry Heastin since he left to join the Bears? And obviously you miss Quentin Nelson and Mike McGlinchey, but he's been so well regarded, so many great things being said about him, yet it doesn't really seem like they've missed a beat without him.
Well, I think you look at guys and think, well, you were coached by Harry Heastin for 3 or 4 years, and you don't suddenly forget everything that Harry Heastin taught you. So I think they sort of have a bit of a Heastin afterglow happening here. You know, down the road, they'll miss him more and more every year because the guys that learned under him are going to start to graduate and move on. So, yeah, I mean, they miss him in a huge, huge way. He was the best of the best. I mean, you talk to the guys who played for him here, they'll tell you he wasn't just the best offensive line coach in college. He was the best offensive line coach in the United States of America. He was that well regarded.
What is the future look like for the Irish? I mean, if you look at the depth chart, there are a lot of seniors and juniors listed. And I understand they have a couple of playmaking underclassmen, but as graduations come up and the draft comes up, you know, where is Brian Kelly's recruiting class? I mean, sure, it's typically Notre Dame, but good enough to replace for next season?
Yeah, I mean, we'll most likely take a step back in some key spots next year. I think the offense should be very, very good next year. Defensively, to lose Drew Tranquil and Tavon Coney, your two inside linebackers will hurt a lot. And then they'll have some draft decisions. Jerry Tillery is gone.
Yeah.
But then you've got three defensive ends, Khalid Kareem, Dalen Hayes, Julian Okwara, who should be seniors. If one or two of them left early, that wouldn't shock me. But if all three come back, then the defense should be good. Their secondary should almost all be back. If Julian Love, the Chicago kid, if he goes pro, that would really hurt. So it's going to be a little bit like this year. They had a couple of draft decisions break their way, and Tillery and Coney and Tranquil. If they can have Love, Okwara, and Kareem come back next year on defense, then they should be very good. If three of those guys or two of them go pro, then it might be a little bit of a rebuilding year, kind of more of your 9-3 type season than what we're seeing right now.
So what of tomorrow? I mean, Notre Dame's favored by 10. Syracuse has had a pretty decent season, 8-2 on the year. Do the Irish have an issue? Is this a game where you worry about them looking past anybody for USC in the end of the year? But how do you think it goes?
I mean, as long as Book is healthy, I think that they can sort of name their score on offense.
Yeah.
But if he's not, then it'll be a struggle. So I sort of look at it as, okay, if Book's healthy, I like Notre Dame sort of in the 45-27, 45-24 type range where they definitely hit 40 and Syracuse gets into the 20s. But if it's Brandon Wimbush, a quarterback, then I think it will be a 7-point game. I just don't know who will win. That could really put Notre Dame under some serious pressure tomorrow.
Yeah, I wonder how long a leash does Book have? I mean, if what kind of look is he going to get early? What kind of cues are they going to be – or cues are they going to be looking for here to know what the right decision is, and how much of an in-game feel must there be?
I mean, I think in a lot of ways this will be on Book, to be honest, with the staff. Be like, all right, I just took a shot in the ribs. I can't breathe, or I took a shot in the ribs. Let me just shake this off and get back in there. I mean, this is a kid, he's a 75% passer. If you see him sailing throws or throwing balls in the dirt, clearly he is not healthy. So it should be clear early about how healthy he is or is not. And at that point, I think it'll just be a decision between Brian Kelly and Books, like, you can go or we got to go to Wimbush.
Pete, great stuff. We appreciate it. Thanks for doing a Notre Dame hit for us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
That is Pete Sampson of The Athletic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.